Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, start from the very beginning, and sometimes jump forward to season 45. I'm Patrick.
I'm Chris. And, I mean, sometimes we just do that, like, one time. We're never going to jump forward to 45 ever again.
Well, I mean, arguably you could say that we're going to do it for the next, like, 2 months. 3 months.
Yeah. This is the first time we've recorded in like 2 months, almost maybe a month and a half. We doubled up a lot of our recordings over the summer, which I think we probably mentioned, but this is us. We're back at it. New season starts in a few days. And so this episode, we are going to do a lightning round deep dive into all of the new contestants on 45. Well, the new contestants and the old contestant of Bruce, who we've seen before, but we'll talk about him as well. And so in previous new seasons, we've split this up over like several episodes, but we're just doing this all in one. And so we're going to do what we've done in the past, where I'll go through like several lightning rounds with Patrick, where he'll say yes or no based off of some information about a contestant without knowing who they are. I'll reveal who it is after he tells me yes or no. And at the end, we'll give like a summary for the people that he said yes to a lot or no to a lot and stuff like that. Before we jump into a lightning round, we have listener mail. We got an email.
Awesome.
This was a follow-up email from Brian, who emailed us before to recommend that like young adult book series that was written or co-written by Jeff Probst.
Yeah.
He said, thanks for the shout out a couple weeks ago. I'm about 10 chapters in now, and it's an all right book, certainly for like the 10 to 13 year old age range, though. I can definitely tell which parts Jeff had a hand in. I did think it was funny when the characters made fun of the name Benjamin. I think this is based on a Survivor character you and Patrick will meet in the very near future in season 18. Season 18 is one of my favorite seasons, and I'm super excited to hear your review after season 45, of course.
Awesome. I think we have talked before about being really excited for season 18, because that's Token Cheese, because we also get Tyson
and Coach, I think, who's like a big Survivor person.
I'm pretty sure Coach is Benjamin.
Okay. I was thinking that's what I was thinking too, but I wasn't positive. Okay.
I might be wrong, but I think that that's
bad. I think you're right. All right, cool. Well, thanks for writing in again, Brian. Hopefully if you continue the series, you enjoy it more than maybe I talked about enjoying it, but I think I was just in a different mindset of like not expecting it to be so young, but that's on me. All right, let's jump into season 45. Our first round is going to be...
I have a quick question before we jump in.
Yeah.
Are we, timeline-wise, we are pretty sure that they would have seen the beginning of season 44, but not all of season 44? Do you think that's right?
I think so. They definitely would have seen 43, but I think they film in like the spring.
Yeah, I think they started in like May or something, or maybe April. So I think they saw the beginning of 44.
Oh, so you're wondering like, do they know Bruce?
Yes.
I have no idea. Probably. I think the show would probably, I guess I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. My guess is yes.
Okay.
Okay, so first round is the intro round, where I'll tell you, I'm going to give you five pieces of information for each person.
Whoa. Like
age, hometown, current residence, occupation, and three words to describe you.
And I'm giving everyone a yes or a no.
That's so right.
If I like them or if I don't like them.
All right, first.
If I think they're going to make the merge or not, I think it's kind of what we said before.
Yeah. All right, first person is 26 years old, born in San Jose, California, currently lives in Chicago. They're a grad student, and three words to describe them. They're ambitious, sweet, and clumsy.
Man, this is harder than it should be. No.
All right. So that is Austin Lee Kuhn. For listeners, I gave Patrick a picture that is labeled with each person on it with letters so he can visualize it. You all could have your own pictures. So this is Austin Lee Kuhn. Patrick, that is G on the picture.
Okay.
Next, 26 years old, born in Havana, Cuba, currently lives in Miami, Florida. They're an entrepreneur, and their three words are fiery, wildly enthusiastic, and empathetic. It is four words, but you know.
Sure. I'm gonna say yes, based off of the fact that Caribbean entrepreneurs tend to do well, a la Jam Jam.
Okay, that is Di Valladares or Valladares. She is P in the photo.
Okay.
Next, another 26-year-old, three 26-year-olds in a row. Born in
I missed my chance. Should have done it when I was 26.
I was just going to say, I was like, you're not 26. This person, 26, born in Sicklerville, New Jersey, currently lives in Sicklerville, New Jersey. They are a content producer, and they are empathetic, inquisitive, and relatable.
No.
Was that because of content producer?
I was hardly leaning no because of Sicklerville, New Jersey, because that just sounds, Sicklerville sounds like a gross town, but then content producer also made me go no.
Really, sorry, coming out our listeners from Sicklerville, New Jersey. This is a tiny town. It is like a suburb of Philadelphia, kind of.
Can I? This is maybe not cool. I want to guess which letter this is.
Sure.
J?
It is R.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was Brandon Donlin. All right, next. 28 years old. Born in McKinney, Texas. Currently lives in Laurel, Maryland. They are an investment analyst, and they are direct, genuine, and aggressive.
Yes.
Ooh, that is Emily Flippin, who is letter Q.
The Texas to Maryland, I feel like, are very different places, so she's learned to interact with a lot of different people. That's what I'm going with there.
Nice. Next is a 23-year-old, born in Oak Park, California, currently living in Seattle, Washington. Seattle, represent. Software developer, and they are curious, clever, and motivated.
Yes, because of Seattle.
That is Brandon, quote, Brando Meyer. In the videos from Entertainment Weekly, he said, he goes by Brando, and that is C in the picture. Next up, 33 years old, born in Woodbridge, Connecticut, currently lives in Baltimore City, Maryland. They are a therapist, and they are enthusiastic, passionate, and authentic.
Yes.
That is Hannah Rose, the one you thought might have been the content producer, letter J.
Therapists have tended to do decently well.
Yeah, my mark against this person is referring to themselves as being authentic.
I think like Carolyn would have done that in like referring to yourself as like, it's a way of saying like, I'm not trying to put on a front for other people. I'm just going to be unapologetically who I am.
Yeah, that's fair. Next, age 47, from born in West Warwick, Rhode Island, currently lives in Warwick, Rhode Island, an insurance agent who is funny, competitive, and energetic.
Yeah.
That is our boy from 44, Bruce Perot, letter H.
I really think Bruce is going to go far this season. Because I think that if these people saw 44, they're going to like take a little bit of pity on him and not target him quickly, because that'd be really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's just like a little bit of a thing. And just like, I don't think playing Survivor for half an hour like he did was like, you know, this great huge advantage or something,
right?
Except that he had been through like all of the intro stuff before, and so is probably just like a lot less intimidated coming into all of it.
Yeah,
he understood the cameras, he understood the interviews, he understood like all of that, so that probably made it all a little bit easier and does give him a little bit of like a tiny bit of a competitive edge, the smallest bit. I'm very pro Bruce this season.
You'll have to remind me at the end of this. His answers from this Entertainment Weekly interview, some of them, they like are exactly the same, like word for word, and some of them have like slight changes. So I have like a merge together to tell you like the how his answers have changed slightly.
Oh, that's interesting.
All right, next we have age 24, born in San Francisco, now lives in Los Angeles. They're a singer, and they're ambitious, optimistic, and creative.
No.
That is Janani Krishnan Jaha, also known as Jay Maya. But in the videos I watched, she just introduced herself as Jay. And that is letter M.
Okay.
Next, we have age 23, born in Birmingham, Michigan, currently lives in Philadelphia. They are a grad student, and they are smart, witty, and dynamic.
Yeah. I think describing yourself as dynamic is fascinating, so I'm going to give him a yes.
That is Drew Basile. He is the tall guy in the back of a picture, letter E.
Okay.
Fun fact about him, Entertainment Weekly posted a video of all of these contestants from the new season giving a hot take about Survivor. And his hot take was that Survivor Vanuatu is an extremely underrated season.
Ooh.
And I was like, hey.
Agree with that hot take.
Yeah. Because we're so unsure about how high we rated that, every time I see people mention it highly, I'm like, yeah, we said so too.
Yes, you're correct.
Next, age 49, which might be our oldest. It's our oldest contestant this season at 49. They were born and live in Brentwood, Tennessee. They are an estate attorney, and they are hardworking, loyal, and smart.
No.
That is Julie Alley, who is K in the picture.
So I'm going to tell you, I said no based off of very little of what you said, but I stereotypically I could tell from the picture that that K is the oldest contestant.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that's who you were talking about. And most of the people in the front row are down on one knee with one knee out, but she's just down on both knees and it just looks uncomfortable. And I'm like, I'm not about that. No.
Jay is also on two knees.
Yes, letter M, name Jay, who I also said no to without realizing it.
So yeah. I was
very against that choice.
Maybe some of those people in the back row are also on two knees and just really tall.
E, the, I think he's Evan.
Uh-huh. No, that was Drew.
Oh, Drew.
All right, next we have another 26-year-old. Hot on 26 this season. Wow. Born in Hanson, Massachusetts, lives in Boston, Massachusetts. They're an attorney, and they are boisterous, wily, and persistent.
Yes, because you're describing Boston Rob.
Yeah, and let me say this: this is Jake O'Kane, who has a very good Boston accent, and that is L. And his hot take in the video was that Chris Daugherty is a higher tier player than people give him credit for.
And that's the winner from Vanuatu, right?
I know. That's why I noted it down. I was like, yeah, he is.
Man, that's great. He is. He's a great winner. That's he's the reason why I like Vanuatu.
Yeah. Those are the only two hot takes I noted down. There's several people who are the new era is fine. There's a couple people who really were saying they love Edge of Extinction because that's one that gets a lot of flack. People don't like that season. And there's some other random stuff, but. There's two different people who had hot takes about season 9 Vanuatu. Next, 35 years old, born in St. Louis, Missouri, lives in Brooklyn, New York. They are a civil rights attorney, and they are calculating, determined, and unexpected.
Yes.
That is Katora Tops. They are O, which before we started recording this episode, Patrick was looking at the picture of them, and he was like, I think O is going to go far, and he was right.
Well, hopefully.
Well, yeah,
that's fair. I agree with myself.
All right, next, age 29, born in Port Coquitlam, Canada, currently lives in Vancouver, Canada.
Canadians do well.
They're in software sales. They're charismatic, opportunistic, and golden retriever.
Well, that's two words.
It is. You already said yes.
I did already say yes.
That is Caleb Jebrewald. He is D in the picture. So we've got a Seattle person and Vancouver, Canada, pretty close to Seattle. A couple of people close to me representing the season. Next.
If I would have known that was D, I might have said no. He's got a deep V going on, and I'm not about it.
It's just living that island of life. Next, age 30, Weston, Connecticut, currently lives in New York, New York. They are a critical care nurse, and they are scrappy, deliberate, and intuitive.
Yes.
That is Kelly Nalbandian. They are I in the bottom left.
I think I'm giving too many yeses, but that's fine.
We'll get your tally up in four more people. 30 years old, born and lives in O'Fallon, Illinois. They are a gym owner, and they are outgoing, loving, and empowering.
No.
That is Nicholas Sifu Alsup. I believe they will not be going by Nicholas, but be going by Sifu. They are A in the picture.
Oh, I liked A beforehand too.
Yeah, well, not anymore. You don't. Age 31, born in Haverhill, Massachusetts, currently lives in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. They are a bartender, and they are outgoing, determined, and enthusiastic.
No.
That is Kendra McQuarrie, which is letter B, who you also said you liked before we started.
Ah, damn.
Next, age 35, born in Lawrence, New Jersey, currently lives in Provo, Orem, Utah. They are school principal, and their three words are, actually six words, connection seeker, ambitiously minded, magnetic energy.
No, you got to follow the rules.
That is Sean.
You're a principal. You should follow the rules.
Sean Edwards, who is N.
That guy's a school principal?
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
35.
Really?
Yeah. It is super helpful that the picture I sent you that I'm like identifying them as, they're wearing the exact same outfits as the other pictures I have of them that I'm like referring to. Makes it way easier to find them.
It might, like, from this picture, he looks like one of the youngest on the cast. I would have guessed that he's like 22.
He doesn't look 35, but he looks older than in that like group photo, I think.
Okay.
Like, individually. He's got like a pretty like square face that kind of ages him up a bit. All right, last one, age 28, born in Locust Grove, Georgia, lives in Jacksonville, North Carolina. They are a truck driver, and they're resilient, vibrant, and proud.
Ooh, no.
All right, that is Sabaya Broderick, who is letter F.
You know what? I originally took proud as like arrogant, and I didn't think of like other versions of the word pride, of like just being proud of who you are, and that, yeah,
I believe that is how they mean it based off of other stuff I've read about them.
Yeah, so I might have said that differently if I would have thought for a second longer, but
you,
I also
had,
was,
you had 10 yeses.
Okay,
I think there's 18, so 10 yeses, 8 noes. All right, going in lightning round number 2. This one is based on hobbies and pet peeves. Let's see. I want to kind of bounce, scramble it up a little bit. Okay. This person's favorite hobbies are hot yoga, eating delicious food in gorgeous locations, and countering systemic racism. Pet peeves: slow walkers, slow talkers, and people who ooze privilege. I added my own emphasis on the ooze there.
Ooze. I thought you said use, and I was confused.
Ooze.
Oh boy. I feel like if I say no, that I sound like I'm, you know, pro privilege and anti fighting systemic racism, but I think I have to say no just because I worry that they're going to get in fights with people about stuff.
That is Katora Tops, who is letter O. Next, this person's hobbies are theater, Dungeons and Dragons, and working out, and their pet peeves are motorcycles, people who take themselves too seriously, and people who won't hear out new ideas.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that described me, so yeah, sure.
That is Jake O'Kane, the Boston Rob person you mentioned before, yeah. Letter L. Next, hobbies, baking cupcakes and cakes, jogging with my black lab, Leo, and their pet peeves are hair left in hairbrushes and other people slurping coffee.
Boy. Yeah, sure.
That is Julie Alley, letter K. Old two knees herself.
Old two knees.
Next, favorite hobbies, basketball, travel, trying things for the first time, friend-related activities, and trouble. Pet peeves, people with no sense of humor, people who talk about wanting things but won't do anything about it.
Ooh, I feel like that's what Survivor is. I'm going to say no.
That is Caleb Jebrewald, who is letter D, the deep V himself.
I think that I am, like, my answer is going to be totally opposite what I said the first time. I don't think I've matched a single one so far, except for Boston Rob guy, L.
Caleb, you matched because I thought, oh no, you did say yes to him, even though he had a DP. I was thinking you said no to him because of it. All right, next. This person, their favorite hobbies are playing acoustic guitar, watching playing soccer, and taking board games way too seriously. And their pet peeves, inefficiency and know-it-alls.
Yes.
That is Kelly Nalbandian, letter I.
I think I said yes before, too.
Next up, this person enjoys playing guitar, practicing Tai Chi, cooking, parentheses, I'm a grill master, and going on dates with my fiance, parentheses, we do some cool stuff. Pet peeves. Pet peeves, liars and mean people.
No.
That is Sifu, letter A.
Oh, no, I thought I was going to like him. The parenthetical, we do some cool stuff. No, 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 no.
You said no to him both times, too, I think.
I think I did.
Next up, this person likes hiking, rollerblading, studying astrology, reading, camping, cooking for friends, and listening to music. And their pet peeves are people who chew with their mouths open, snoring, not saying please and thank you, and when people ask me the meaning of my tattoos.
Ooh, no.
That is Kendra McQuarrie, letter B.
I feel like if you get lots of tattoos, you gotta expect that people might ask you about them, because that's just like a normal question.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm anti-astrology, so no.
Oh, interesting.
I also thought I was...
Hot take, like anti-astrology.
Are you surprising to you?
I mean, there's a... I don't, like, follow astrology, but if people want to, like, just be into astrology, like, that's fine with me.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, like, fight her about it. I just, like...
You're anti. I get it. You don't have to... You can't walk back this now.
Okay, that's fine. I'm anti-astrology.
I won't this person's favorite hobbies are my husband, Matt, is a great... Okay, let me start this over. Favorite hobbies. This says, my husband, Matt, is a great cook. My favorite thing to do is eat his food while spending quality time with him and watching Survivor seasons. I also love a good game night with my cousins. Pet peeves, people who are arrogant and think they are better than others.
Yeah.
That is Sean Edwards, letter N. This person likes basketball, new restaurant dates, and painting. And their pet peeves are laziness and an, quote, I can't attitude.
Ooh, no.
That is Sabaya Broderick, letter F. This
person's going to get tired and she's going to get annoyed at them.
This person likes backpacking somewhere new with my camera, hockey, volleyball, anything really that gets me active outside with my friends. And their pet peeves are any form of waste, wasted time, money, opportunity, food, also banana flavored candy. But I still eat them because no wasting.
Yeah.
That is Austin Lee Kuhn, letter G. Next. This
man, I really thought I was going to be anti-Austin.
This person's favorite hobbies are CrossFit, parentheses, don't judge, running, traveling, anything outdoors, spending time with fam, anything that gets my heart racing. And pet peeves are bad tippers, road ragers, constantly being late, and injustice to kids, old people, or dogs.
Yes. I was going to say no, but injustice to kids, old people, and dogs, I feel like I can't say no to you. Even I already said no to the pro system or like fighting for systemic racism.
I get it. You like dogs and you're not against systemic racism.
That's... I am against systemic racism.
That was D, letter P.
I would say that I'm more anti-systemic racism than I am anti-astrology.
Okay, that's not a hot take.
I know. Good. But I just want to note that if you're going to like label me as being anti-astrology, I also want to be labeled as anti-systemic racism.
Next, this person likes going out to eat, antiquing, leaving a party without telling anybody. And their pet peeves are...
Wait, sorry, is that a definition of teaking?
No. They like going out to eat, antiquing.
Oh.
Like finding antiques.
Antiquing. Okay, gotcha.
And also leaving a party without telling anybody. And their pet peeves...
Already a no for me.
Their pet peeves are adult men who have Snapchat, people who message me hi when they need something from me, lead with your request. And you said
okay,
no.
Okay, so those pet peeves are good, but still no, because antiquing, no thanks.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm allowed to have Snapchat.
You're really coming in with hot takes.
Yeah,
I'm anti-astrology, no antiques. I mean, come on, antiques, that's good for the environment. You got that's reusing.
I'm fine with having antiques. Mm-hmm. I'm against it like being your hobby.
Next. Oh, that was Brandon Donlin, who is letter R, who might have the most fun shirt of the cast this season. Although A has got some good competition and C is pretty good.
Are those lemons on C?
No. I think flowers.
Like
that's Brando.
I think you said her name was Jay.
Yeah.
Like has a fun shirt, but otherwise all the fun shirts are guys.
This person
boring clothes.
Likes doting over my cat, playing video games, and meal prepping. And their pet peeves are nearly everything. Chewing, snoring, arrogance, no. Being overly serious, being overly jokey. You name it, and it probably irritates me.
No, 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 that no, is no, no.
Emily Flippin, letter Q. Next, this person likes running, disc golf, baseball, and Pokemon Go. Oh, also puns, especially when they get a good groan out of everyone. Their pet peeves, when someone takes the urinal directly next to you, despite plenty of others being open.
Man, this person's me. Yes.
This is Brando, letter C. Next, this person likes musical theater, Peloton, and anything with my dog, Ralph. Pet peeves, loud chewing, and narcissist types.
Yeah.
That's Hannah Rose, letter J. I like the name Ralph for a dog. This person's favorite hobbies are golf and boxing, and their pet peeves are people who run their fork on their teeth while eating.
That's not a thing. Like, people don't do that. Who runs their fork along their teeth while eating?
You got to give an answer.
No.
That is Bruce. You, I'm pretty sure, had the exact same reaction last season when I read that, because in this season's interview of him, it didn't include a pet peeve. So I had to pull that one from last season. And I think you had the same reaction of like, what? That's not a thing.
Yeah, it's not. No, that's a made up thing.
To be fair, it's possible that it's not still a pet peeve of his, because his interview this season didn't have any pet peeves listed. So maybe he doesn't have any anymore. Maybe he's gotten over it.
If you would have said no pet peeves listed, I would have said yes.
Oh, I mean, you have the freedom to change based off of all of this information.
I'll leave it as a no, because I feel like I'm slightly leaning yes now because I know it's Bruce. So I'll leave it as a no.
Yeah, there's no way for me to I don't know. I was trying to figure out a way to read it without giving away that it's Bruce, but also saying that, like, I guess I could have said I found like his pet peeve listed somewhere else or something. I don't know. This person likes reading, parentheses, favorite genres, fantasy, science fiction, and romance. They like running, playing pickup soccer, crossword puzzling, and punning. And their pet peeves are slow walkers, only if they take up the entire sidewalk.
Yeah.
That is J, letter M. Last one for the hobbies and pet peeves. This person likes playing Scrabble, writing, and trivia. And their pet peeves are the, quote, oh my God, autocorrect.
No.
I don't know what that means.
Right. Neither do I, and therefore no. Is it oh my God or OMG?
That it was, quote, all lowercase, oh my God, exclamation point, autocorrect.
Huh, weird.
Yeah. All right. Halfway through. Next, I'll give an update at the end of like yeses and nos. Next up, accomplishments and something we would never know from looking at you. These are a little bit longer, so bear with me. Especially some people were quite verbose in their answers. All right. Accomplishment this person is proud of: making it onto the All-American team at the Volleyball Junior Olympics when I was 15. That was my first major personal accomplishment, and it gave me the confidence I needed to start the personal growth journey to get where I am today. And something we wouldn't know by looking at them is they said, I own the heavily contested and very impressive world record for the most nuts thrown and caught in a can on the head in 1 minute. The original record was 37, and I got 93.
What? Yes.
That is Austin Lee Kuhn, letter G.
That is a wild thing to do. And but the fact that like he beat the record and then just kept going and kept going and did as many as he could, that bodes well for you in this show.
Mm-hmm. I should look into getting a world record sometime. I think that's a good idea.
Really?
I think that'd be fun. Like
I'm anti-world record.
There's all sorts of silly world records out there that like people can get. There's a speedrunner I watched named Small Ant. And he has a whole series of videos of trying to get the world record for sharpening the most pencils in like a certain amount of time with, I can't remember if it's with your feet or that just ends up being the fastest method. It must be with your feet, but no, I think it's just the fastest. And I think the feet just ends up being the best, because what the method that ends up happening is like you hold the pencil with your feet and then the sharpener with your hands and like twist the sharpener with your hands really fast or something like that. It looks like I definitely wouldn't want to do it, because this whole video series just looks so messy. Like he just ends up covered in pencil lead and just looks like full of blisters. But I don't know. The idea of having a world record is fun. Next.
That was the most buck wild tangent I've ever heard.
Next, this person's accomplishment they are proud of: running and completing my first full marathon when, prior to signing up, I had only ever run 3 miles. 26.3 miles scared the shit out of me, so I put it on my calendar and figured out the how along the way. Something we would never know from looking at them. I am not a college graduate. 5 years later, and my fam still thinks I have my bachelor's. Whoops. Technically, in my head, I did graduate because I shook the school president's hand. 6 months into waiting for my diploma, I found out I failed a class by one letter grade. Surprise, mom.
Yes, because that is all. Every part of that is amazing. All of that is great.
She also, I don't know if it's a typo on the article person's part, but said that a marathon is 26.3 miles, which is not the case.
There's
just a lot going on in that answer. That is D, letter P. Next, this person's accomplishment they're most proud of: after doing contract marketing work since college, I finally settled at a place I love, doing work I love, and working with some of the best people I know. Something we would never know looking at them. I hate tabletop games. I feel like I give off a big tabletop game energy. I'd rather get a root canal than play Settlers of Catan. Genuinely.
No. Fuck you.
That is Brandon, letter R. Next, accomplishment they are proud of: passing all three levels of my CFA exams on my first attempt. Trust me, it's a solid humble brag in the world of finance. Something we wouldn't know by looking at them. I am not religious, but I am guided by my own very strict sense of right and wrong.
Yeah.
No.
Ooh,
interesting. That is Emily Flippin, letter Q, who you were very against in a previous answer. So
that's true.
Switch was good.
I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then I thought about, like, you got to be able to bend your morals in Survivor a little bit. So if you're, like, too strict with your version of right and wrong, like, you're going to betray people. And if you're not going to do that, you're not going to last long. So,
fair. Next person, their accomplishment they are proud of: in 2021, I wrote, illustrated, and published my own children's book. I have always had a passion for writing, and this helped me put this passion to the test. Something we would never know from looking at them: I am a massive baseball fan. Growing up, I was an all-star pitcher and avid Ichiro supporter. The Mariners are still my favorite team, and I spend countless hours watching and discussing baseball with my family. I also don't eat sushi, probably my biggest sin as a half-Japanese man.
I'm going to say yes, in part because I think that the Mariners is a Seattle team. Maybe?
Yeah, and Ichiro is a really famous, longtime pitcher of theirs.
Yeah, so because of Seattle, and also the... I don't remember the first thing. I remember being like, oh, that and baseball?
Children's book writer.
Oh, children's book and baseball? Like, this person's got some range. I am a little bit nervous about not eating sushi because, like, does that mean they don't like seafood? Or, like, don't like fish? We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. That is Brando, letter C. I
really
like Brando.
It, apparently.
Also, I've thought about, I've never done it, writing kids' books or a kids' book.
I've also thought about that.
I feel like, I mean, this is probably wrong, so I apologize, listeners, but there's got to be some easy money in writing kids' books, right? How hard can it be to write a good kids' book?
I do think that, there's so many kids' books that it would be hard to, like, sell a lot of.
That is true. Or just to even, like, get in the market, get published in general.
Right.
All right, this person's biggest accomplishment: getting sober when I was 20 years old. And something we would never know from looking at them, that I am a therapist and founded and run a group private practice.
Yes.
That is Hannah Rose, letter J.
Yeah, I could tell that based off them saying that they're a therapist again. But the fact that they are sober is also, like, a big... I think that is, like, a huge accomplishment and very difficult to do. And kind of, like, shows, like, a ability to kind of do anything and get through hard circumstances. Also,
especially doing it at 20.
That's the description of Carolyn. So. Carolyn went far. So,
this person's biggest accomplishment: raising two awesome kids with my amazing wife. And something we wouldn't know by looking at them, that they were adopted by a white family.
Yes,
that is Bruce.
To code switch a lot.
That is Bruce. The something we would never know from looking at them was not included in this year's interview, so I pulled that answer from last year.
I was going to say, I think that I might have said the code switch thing about him before.
Yeah, I think so. All right, this person's biggest accomplishment, being able to build a career for myself in the mainstream music industry as an Indian American woman and as an independent artist. I came into music starting truly from scratch, knowing nobody and having no understanding of how anything worked, and thought through a lot of hard work. I can now say that millions of people around the world listen to my music and that my music has been praised by organizations like the Recording Academy. Above all, representation means everything to me. Nothing makes my day more than receiving comments and messages from other South Asians saying that they've been encouraged by my decisions to pursue a career in the arts to do the same. It's what makes me the proudest. I know how truly fortunate I am to be able to do what I love, and I am so grateful I made decisions to follow my dreams. Something we would never know from looking at them. You probably wouldn't be able to tell. I'm the youngest international pun championships award winner in history.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure I know who this is, but I'm going to say yes.
That is J, letter M.
You know, when two of these people have names that are just letters, I feel like maybe you could have to come up with a better system.
I didn't think about that before I lettered them. I was like, I don't want to do, for whatever reason, I was like, I don't want to do numbers. And so I did letters, and here we are. This person's biggest accomplishment, winning a trivia national championship in 2019. I captained my team, and it was a culmination of years of hard work. Something we would never know from looking at them. I'm a pretty open book in the sense that all my nerdy accomplishments are very predictable based on my appearance. In high school, though, I was elected secretary of the student body by my peers.
No.
That is Drew, letter E. Next accomplishment they're proud of. I am most extremely proud of my two kids who are now amazing young adults, but I don't think I can take credit for them. They are God's gifts to me. Something we would never know from looking at them. I hope I don't look as old as I am, or that you can tell I have a 23-year-old daughter and 21-year-old son. I hope the players cannot tell that I am an attorney.
No.
That is Julie, old two knees herself. Letter K.
Old two knees.
It
is fine to be older in this game. Clearly, Gabler just won. And you think that it is a mistake to hope that people don't realize that you are older.
You're going to show up and be like, how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, so we'll talk about this later when we get to luxury items. But I'm watching Big Brother this season, and someone's lying about their age, and boy howdy, it's not going well.
Next, this person's accomplishment. Finishing a Spartan race was a big moment for me, being a guy who used to start breathing heavy after two flights of stairs. And there's something we would never know from looking at them. I make the best homemade pizza.
Yeah.
That is Jake O'Kane, letter L.
Ooh, I've been very pro him.
Sorry, I was just looking up what a Spartan race is. A series of obstacle races of varying difficulty.
It's like a Tough Mudder.
Yeah, that is exactly what it is. Okay. Cool. Next, accomplishment they're proud of. Successfully switching my life from just surviving to actually thriving. What is something we would never know from looking at you? I speak French. Oh, and I'm almost colorblind.
Almost colorblind?
Almost.
Yeah, sure.
That is Katora Tops, letter O. Almost color.
I do hope that she brings that up, because like some puzzles, like color matters.
Does it?
Like,
I'm
if you
think about that,
like I think like a puzzle would be a lot harder if you can't tell the difference in some of the colors.
Yeah, I was just trying to think about if their puzzles are actually super color based, because it would be like, I would think that would be an easy adjustment they could make for challenges and puzzles to be more inclusive.
I remember there being a thing in like season 41 or 42 that people were annoyed because there was like a, I think it was 42, there was like a big like circular puzzle that had like dragons on it, and they were like intertwined dragons, but one of the tribes, the dragons were like green and blue or something, but the others were like black and red, or like it was like,
I remember that, just different. Watching it, I was like, that one's way harder to tell the difference of between. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I was thinking of. Like, if someone was colorblind, that type of like less contrast would be much harder.
Well, Katora is almost colorblind, which I hope she brings up, because I want to know what that means. I don't know what it means to be like almost colorblind. Next. Accomplishment they're proud of. I work for a marketing company that partners with businesses to educate their communities about choosing conservative healthcare, such as physical therapy, chiro, etc., over addictive medication and invasive surgery. It's a mission I'm passionate about. Over the past 5+ years, I've generated millions in sales, which means I'm helping thousands of patients and hundreds of local businesses. something we would never know from looking at them. I've worked remotely since 2017 and have lived in 27 countries. Fiji is 28.
Well, okay. I guess you're living in Fiji, kind of. I guess you're living in Fiji. I'll say yes. I would say that you're visiting Fiji. But I guess they are, like, building a shelter and shit. I guess you could say that you live in Fiji for a month.
Yeah. That is Caleb, Deep V himself, letter D. Next, accomplishment they're proud of. Working through the COVID-19 pandemic as a nurse in New York City, it showed me I have a lot more resilience and grit than I thought. I'm also proud of being my nursing school valedictorian and getting into Yale for grad school. I think people really underestimate nurses' intelligence, but I live to prove people wrong. Something we wouldn't know from looking at them, I'm a little nerdy. I love strategic board games and video games.
I'm going to say yes. They got into Yale for a nursing grad school program? Is that right?
It just says getting into Yale for grad school, but they are a nurse, so I'm assuming so. Maybe it's like a whatever. There's like tiers of nurses. Like,
yeah, like nurse practitioner. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, cool. That's awesome.
That is Kelly. Letter I. This person's accomplishment is becoming a world champion in push hands, undefeated and recognized worldwide. And something we wouldn't know from looking at them, I love Dragon Ball Z.
No.
That is Sifu. Push hands looks kind of...
I think it's like you have to push someone out of like a circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Well, no, they're like... Yeah. They can use... It looks like they use hands. I don't know how much feet come in. I don't know. That is Sifu, which I wonder... I didn't know if Sifu was a... So there's a character in Dragon Ball Z named Sifu. So I was wondering if that's where his nickname came from. Maybe.
But isn't also like... Didn't you say like his middle name?
I just... No, like his name that is listed is Nicholas, quote, Sifu Alsip. And so Sifu is definitely a nickname. Okay. Gotcha. That was letter A. Next up, accomplishment they are proud of, completing the Camino de Santiago. And something we wouldn't know from looking at them, that they talk exactly like Drew Barrymore.
Ooh, tough stuff right now.
Hey, she put out an apology today, okay?
Oh, did she?
She did, and is not starting the show.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that a lot of negative press made her stop being a scab.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I'll say yes. The Drew Barrymore like really rubbed me the wrong way, but the Camino de Santiago is pretty cool. So I'm pretty sure it's just like a long bikepacking thing through Chile. I'm pretty sure.
Yes. I don't think it's through Chile. I think it's in Spain. Yeah, it's in Spain. I looked this up the other day. It's northern Spain, but it is just
Santiago is also the capital of Chile. So that's why I guess Chile.
It's a long hiking, backpacking thing through northern Spain. What else was I going to say? Oh, Drew Barrymore. I rewatched The Wedding Singer recently, like a month ago.
Yeah.
That movie is so good. Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler's chemistry is very good. Because then I watched...
The stage musical version of Wedding Singer, also amazing.
Because then I watched... I also enjoy 50 First Dates, which is those two together as well. And then... I watched the movie.
Like a bunch of like Netflix ones, right?
And then I watched the movie Blended, which also has those two, but I hadn't really heard very good things about. It's definitely the worst of the three, but it was still kind of cute and fun. Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, good together.
Yeah.
Hot take. Next up, this person's accomplishment. I'm pretty proud of a lot of things, like being the first openly gay school principal in my school district, getting my doctorate degree, having my work published in various academic journals, but all of that pales in comparison to my absolute greatest success in life, which is marrying my husband, Matt. What's something we would never know from looking at them? When people first meet me, they often make assumptions. Almost everyone thinks I am younger than I really am. There was a time in my life when I was a high school vice principal and parents and visitors thought I was the student body president. So people are always surprised to learn that I'm so accomplished in my education and career. I'm not just here for a good time. I am a goal-driven and natural leader.
No.
That is Sean Edwards, who is the one you thought looked younger than he is, letter N. And our final one, accomplishment they are proud of, serving my country, helping my dad vacation to Africa, which was his dream, and something we would never know from looking at them. I am a truck driver. I have four brothers, no sisters, and I am a Marine.
Yeah.
That is Sabaya Broderick, letter F.
All right. I would not guess that she was a truck driver.
That's what she said.
Yeah, she's right.
You said you gave 13 yeses that round, by the way.
Oh, really? I thought I was leaning no a lot. Guess I'm wrong.
The round before it, you gave 9. So you've given, I think, 10, 9, 13.
Okay. I'll do like a lot of no's.
All right. Final round. This is them answering, why will you be the sole survivor?
Yes.
I mean, sir, I think, and accurate. That was Gabler, yep. Right? Why will you be the sole survivor? Yeah. No. Yes. All right. Let's see. Why will you be a sole survivor? I've been preparing unconsciously for the show my whole life. It is my destiny to be the sole survivor.
No.
All right. That is.
You're preparing unconsciously. That's an oxymoron. Get the fuck out of here.
That is Sabaya Broderick, who we just talked about. Letter F.
Hmm. Sorry, Sabaya.
This one says, I will be the sole survivor. She says she spelled soul there, S-O-U-L, because I've got moxie. My unwavering optimism, courage, and gut instincts will guide the way to soul survivor.
I've been saying yes to people that say they are good at puns, but I want to say no to this person because of the pun, and that's not fair. So I'm going to say give them a yes.
Oh, interesting. That is Kendra McQuarrie, letter B. Next, my job requires me to be adaptable in the face of constant chaos and change, just like this game. I am a chameleon. I can bro out with jocks, nerd out with nerds, be besties with the girls. There's no one I can't bond with. I think I will surprise people. At the end of the day, I'm fully prepared to manipulate and blindside my way to final tribal, where I can get votes from my friends on the jury.
Yeah, I want to say, I said I was going to say a lot more no's, but like, that's a great answer.
That is a good answer. That was Kelly. Letter I. Good answer. Good answer. Some real Family Feud answer.
Okay. Good to know.
Next, because I've been preparing for it for life, even when I didn't realize it.
No. No, you weren't. You weren't preparing for it.
That is Katora Tops. Letter O. Who has fun pants. I think those are pants. They're fun.
Yeah, they're pants.
Next. I read people well. I have good instincts and will carry my family support with me in the game. I want to win it to inspire and motivate other women in their 40s and older. It's never too late to start something new or go after a dream. I want to inspire them to be their own hero.
No, sorry, Tunis.
That is Julie Tunis. Next, I am adaptable. I've operated in many different spheres in my life. Competitive punning, debate, the music industry, the same way. First observing quietly and then fitting myself into the gaps to carve out my own space. I feel like I've been preparing for Survivor my whole life, and I think I have a little more strength in me than I like to let on.
No, you haven't been preparing your whole life. No. I was really leaning yes until that phrase. No.
That is Jay. Letter M.
I can tell by the music industry stuff.
I can read the room or the island, pick up cues, lay low when I need to, but be cutthroat when the time comes, and I can do it while being as real as possible and bring comedic relief.
Sure.
That is Hannah Rose, letter J.
Man, I've been very pro her also.
I lack a lot of traditional qualities that make a good Survivor player. I'm out of shape, don't really like the outdoors, and people can find me off-putting. Which is exactly why they'll never see me coming.
No.
It's such a funny answer. Like, I'm going to be real bad at this, but hey. That is Emily Flippin, letter Q.
She also is the one who, like, hates everybody.
Yeah.
She's going to make good TV for, like, 2 episodes.
Yeah. It's already happened in my mind daily. I'm going to be the person out there who doesn't quit, and most importantly, the person who cares the most.
No.
That is D, letter P. I make the best of every situation, and I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm adaptable, creative, and have the tools to pull off an individual immunity run. I work my butt off, and I'll make sure not a second is wasted out on the island.
Yes.
That is Austin Lee Kuhn, letter G. He hates waste. That's why he still eats banana-flavored candy, even though he doesn't like it. I want it more. Nobody wants this as bad as I do. I feel like Charlie. I got the golden ticket. I'm at the chocolate factory, and I plan on being the last one standing. Game on.
No.
That is Brandon Donlin, letter R.
I'm sorry, but like 17 other people also feel like they've got a golden ticket.
Yeah, but those people are Augustus Gloop and Violet Beauregard and others, Mike TV. And who's the other one? Shit. Who's the gun?
You got
one?
It. You got it.
Oh, I can't remember. Oh, no.
I want it now.
I know. What's her name? I don't remember.
Veruca Salt.
Veruca Salt. There's a band named after her and everything. This person, I will be the sole survivor because my combination of quick thinking and acute attention to detail will make sure nothing gets by me.
No.
That is Brando. Letter C. I will be the sole survivor because this is my time.
Yes, because I think it might be Bruce.
It is Bruce. His answer last season was, I will be the sole survivor because this is my time. I will be social and rely on my strategic wit. And he just got rid of that second sentence. I am very personable and authentic. I am also a good strategist and a potent speaker. My hope is these attributes counterbalance for a weak physical game and help me clinch the title.
Yes.
That is tall man Drew Basile. I will be the sole survivor because no one wants it more than me, and no one is going to work harder than me to achieve it.
You're wrong.
I am a people person with the intelligence to use my social skills to navigate through the game.
No. 17 other people also want this really bad.
Yeah, but somebody's got to want it the most. Maybe it's Jake O'Kane, letter L. Boston Rob number two. I've never been qualified for anything I've done, so why not me? Whether getting my first job at 13 by lying and saying I was 16, to slinging pizzas, starting a painting biz having never picked up a brush, or working in software sales. I've never had the resume, but I always figure it out and bring my entire personality, and I expect the best in Survivor.
So I think that those are compelling stories, and that is a compelling argument. However, those are also situations where you can, kind of fuck it up and figure it out as you go, where one fuck up might mean that you're voted out week one. So sometimes you don't get a chance to fix your mistakes on the island. I'll say yes though, because I've settled too many no's and it is a compelling story.
That was funny because you were just like, I want to say yes, but all of this stuff. And so I'm going to say yes. that was Caleb Deep V. Letter D.
God damn it.
Next, I will be because I will be undeniably myself. I will be unwavering in my pursuit. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I am the sole survivor.
But I think this is Jay, who I do like, but I'm still going to say no based off that answer.
That is Sifu, letter A.
Oh, I was wrong. Okay.
We already heard about Jay.
Oh, okay.
For this one. Survivor is largely a social game, and my skills in this area will lead me to becoming the next sole survivor. I can read people's emotions, empathize with others, connect with anyone, and make people feel comfortable with me. These skills will help me to build alliances naturally and easily. I'm ready to claim the $1 million now.
Yes.
All right. Sweet.
Who is that?
Oh, sorry. That was the young guy, letter N. Sean Edwards.
Oh, not the young guy, but the guy that looks young.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, the guy that looks young. All right. I'll give a summary of, how many, the breakdown of how many you said a lot of yeses and no's to, and then I'll go through and read off some other interesting things I noted from their interviews that didn't come up in the lightning round. All right. You said you gave Austin Lee Kuhn three yeses and one no. That was letter G. You gave D, letter P, you gave her three yeses and one no. Brandon Donlin, fun shirt, and letter R, you gave four no's to.
Oh, fuck that guy.
And then right next to him, you gave Emily three no's, so you're not in on either of them. Brando, the one that you thought had lemons on his shirt, you gave three yeses. Hannah Rose, you gave four yeses to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you gave her all four yeses. You don't have a whole lot where you're two yeses and two no's, which means I'm reading through a lot of these. Bruce, you gave three yeses to. Jay and Drew and Katora and Kendra and Sean were all mixed, two yeses and two no's. You gave three no's to Julie, three yeses to Jake, three yeses to Caleb. All four yeses to Kelly Nalbandian, who is letter I. She got four. So those two in the bottom left, I and J, you gave four yeses to both of them. And then Sabaya Broderick, letter F, you gave three no's to.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm going to...
Are we going to...
I'll send this document to you so you have it for like drafting.
And then we're going to draft. We've been drafting 8 people. Is that right?
I think that's right. Either 8 or 10. Probably 8.
Yeah, let's do 8.
Okay. Nice. So that was our lightning round. I do, from their interviews, I highlighted just like a handful of things from people. Because the questions, they're like the other questions that we don't touch on are usually not as interesting. So like, what's one life experience you feel has prepared you for the game? Usually like, I don't know, there's a lot of like similar stuff. So those ones don't stand out as much to me. But Austin Lee Kuhn, I thought his was somewhat interesting. He said, as a kid, I was a shell of my current self. I was shy and quiet, had terrible acne for a dozen years, wore braces from elementary school until high school, headgear included. I had mild Tourette's and was extremely self-conscious. I worked hard for years to build myself up and live the entire introversion, extroversion spectrum. I feel like that experience made me a much more empathetic person.
You said that was Austin?
Yeah.
He gives me, just based off of his picture, but also a little bit based off of the descriptions that he's given, Xander vibes.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Another thing is they always answer, which previous player do you identify with the most? And I scanned through those just to see if and highlight people that we know, because some of them, okay, I was like, I don't know this name. So he, that Austin, he identifies with Owen from 40.
Oh, yeah, I can see that too. Okay.
42? Was it 42?
No, 43.
Okay. Oh, that's what I said. I heard you say 2. I didn't know if that meant, but you could see that also. Also, who in your life is your biggest inspiration? Almost always people list their parents. He said, aside from my parents, maybe Naruto, that ninja never gives up no matter the obstacle. When I need to dig deep during some of the willpower challenges, I'll be channeling that Naruto energy. That was a fun answer. D identifies with Jesse, the player Jesse.
Sorry, is that letter D or name D?
Name D, letter P.
Okay. Oh, I love Jesse.
Brandon Donlin, purple shirt, letter R. He listed several players, but one of them was Jonathan Penner, who we know. And also biggest inspiration, he said, every teacher I've ever had, each one has imparted something I still carry to this day. And they're so overworked, underpaid, and undervalued. Pay teachers more. So just mentioning that for no reason at all. Brando.
Yeah, I agree. We should pay teachers more.
Brando says he will play the most like Yao Man, a strategic, innovative, and friendly game.
Okay. I like Yao Man.
Although I don't plan on giving away any trucks, he says.
Brando is C. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I like him.
Hannah, you said yes to all 4 of hers. Her biggest inspiration, she said, my friend Rishi, who is on a Broadway national tour of Jagged Little Pill and is incredibly brave and wholehearted.
Oh, also, that's awesome.
Also, Brené Brown. I highlighted that just because it wasn't, their biggest inspiration wasn't their parents. Bruce had, so like his answers were different for a couple things. So like last season, why do you want to be a part of Survivor? He said, I want to be part of Survivor because this is a great social experiment. It breaks you down only to test you to get back up. But this year he said, I love this game. This is something that I need a chance to play. I lost that chance and now have it back. The construct of this game is a microcosm of our everyday life. I want to be a part of Survivor because Survivor is my life. And then last year he said, for an experience that prepared him for the game, there are so many experiences, but if I had to choose one, it would be turning into the husband and father that I am today after being abandoned as a child. But this year he said, my life. I've been through the foster care system. I am on a daily basis working on ways to survive in my daily life. And then he last year had said he really likes the player Jeremy Collins, which we don't know. But then this year he said still Jeremy, but also Jesse and Gabler. So he added in Jesse and Gabler, showing that he's been watching. And then, yeah, most of the other stuff's about the same. Jay, letter M in the picture. She likes Parvati a lot and Marianne. And then also her biggest inspiration is her grandmother, Patti. She says when her grandmother was 16, she climbed Mount Kanchenjunga with Tenzing Norgay, who was one of the first people to summit Mount Everest. I believe Tenzing Norgay was like the Sherpa for, is it Edmund Hillary who was the first one up Mount Everest?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That I think it's recorded as that. I think Tenzing Norgay was like one of the Sherpas for that. And so her grandmother became the first South Indian woman in history to climb that mountain. For her bravery, she was awarded the Ice Axe Medal by the Indian government. So that's fun. Drew likes Jonathan Penner. Julie, two knees herself, likes Sari and Jesse. The Sari makes a lot of sense for me why she would be identified with Sari.
Yeah.
Keturah's biggest inspiration is Keturah herself as a child. That little girl faced some of the most unimaginable obstacles, yet still decided to protect herself, become a civil rights lawyer, and break generational curses. And she grew up and did exactly that. That was an interesting answer. Kendra, letter B, really connected with Carolyn, which you,
I love Carolyn.
And then Sean really like, who's a letter N, really likes Sari and Todd Herzog from China.
Yeah, China.
And that's all I noted. All right, cool. That's all I got for this lightning round of contestants. The new episode will air in a couple days, and we'll do our usual thing where the episode will air on Wednesday. Our episode won't come out until the following, like Monday or Tuesday. As we get through this current season 45, and then in between 45 and 46, we'll do some older seasons. You have anything else to add before we wrap up, Patrick?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty excited for this season. Before I do a draft, want to look through like how these people are matched up, because I think that some of those, I noticed some similarities and stuff, so I wonder if those people will be on the same tribes and stuff.
So, would recommend, if you have the time or want to do so, is watching any of the Entertainment Weekly videos. They have like three or four. There's one of like first impressions from meeting the new cast from each of them. I didn't actually watch that one. But then there's one that's hot takes. And then I think there's another one, but it helps just like hearing them talk. You can see personality a little bit more.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm looking at this and I'm like, is there like a greenish tribe and like a purplish tribe and like a blue maybe, or like a yellow? Like I'm wondering if they're
shirts. If the clothes they're in this is the clothes from the show.
Yeah.
I don't know if these are actual clothes they're wearing or like pre-production photos. I think I've seen that somebody has posted what they think are the tribes or like the rumored tribes. So you can probably find that, but I don't have that with me. All right, listeners, if you want to give us your thoughts, or like we're picking who we think are going to be the top eight, if you want to send us who you think is going to be your top eight for the season, we can kind of keep that going as we knock our own people off. We can keep record of yours as well. Just email us your list of eight at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
Oh, do you have any luxury items, Chris?
Oh, shoot, I forgot about that. You mentioned that earlier, and I was like, we don't talk about luxury items anymore. And I just like ignored it. But you were referring to our luxury items, not like the show's luxury items.
Right.
Do I have luxury items? Yeah, I'll go sure. First.
Okay, never mind. You go.
So I traveled to the Oregon coast recently, which is where the movie from 1985, The Goonies,
I would bet money it's 1985.
It is 1985. That's what I thought. Okay. Where The Goonies was filmed. It was filmed in Astoria and then like at Cannon Beach and stuff like that. And so I got to go to those towns and that beach. And that was just like super, super cool. I loved that movie as a kid, still really like it. And so it was fun to just like be there and take it all in. Also went to the Tillamook Cheese Factory there and got a bunch of free cheese samples and bought a bunch of stuff there too. Yeah, it was a good weekend trip.
And also, since the last time you recorded, you went to like South Africa and Egypt.
Yeah, this trip just happened more recently, so that was what was on my brain. That is true. I did spend 3 weeks in South Africa and Egypt. That was also very cool. I did my favorite thing from that whole trip was African safari in the Kruger National Park in South Africa, where you just drive around all day and see animals, like have herds of elephants just cross the road, literal feet in front of you. Very, very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cheese Factory.
I had a baby a month ago, which is why we well, one of the reasons why we like did a bunch of why we've taken a bit of a break from recording. And one of the things I've been doing while I've been staying at home and not going and visiting cheese factories or safaris is watching the newest season of Big Brother, which also happens to feature Ceree and Ceree's son, which is a twist that most of the people in the house do not know about. And it also has Corey Wartenberger, who is Zach Wartenberger's brother, who is on season 42. There was like a whole thing of like he and Marianne had a crush on each other from opposite tribes. His brother is on it. So my luxury item this week is going to be Big Brother. I will
thank you.
Yeah, you are my big brother. Big Brother. I will say that like.
Wait, what was that?
Oh, every episode starts with like tonight on Big Brother.
Ah, okay.
I will say like I think that it is a fascinating show that I don't know that I could watch if I wasn't like on paternity leave and at home a lot because like it is 3 episodes a week. It's a lot.
That's part of the reason I'm not watching it.
Right, exactly. Like it is a big time commitment, but like pretty much I like put my kids to bed and then just like hang out at home right now, so it's been fine. But I think in future seasons I might not be able to watch it, but it has been very fun. I don't know if you're familiar with how Big Brother works at all.
Not really. We've talked about it on this podcast a little bit.
Oh, okay. It is fascinating to watch because like being in a minority isn't necessarily a problem because each week one person wins a competition and then they nominate 2 people to go up on the block and then the house votes to kick out one of those 2 people. So you like the whole house could hate you, but you win the competition and you get to like you're safe and you get to pick 2 people to go up on the block. And you get to save like your 2 allies or whatever. Like with Survivor, it's like you might win individual immunity, but then they'll just vote for one of your allies instead, where that can't necessarily happen in Big Brother.
So gotcha.
That I think is a like a fascinating gameplay. And then it also is like the fact that it is live. And so like I don't know who's going, like no one knows who's going home on Thursday yet, because it hasn't happened yet. It'll happen on Thursday. They're in the house right now. Which also means that Ceree is in this house for 100 fucking days.
That's a long time.
It is so long. Now this is their 25th season, so like it's usually like 80 some days, but they were like, we're gonna make it 100 days for a 25th season. But that's a long ass time for these
people. How do people take work, time off work for that?
One person, so like jury starts after this week. And so if they don't make jury, then they just get to go home. But there is one person who has said that they are renting out their apartment and they rented it out for like all 100 days. And so they're like, I better make jury, because if I don't make jury, I'm just homeless because I rented out my apartment. I don't have somewhere to go back to right now. Which makes total sense, but like, it's wild. I cannot imagine leaving my life for 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
Over 3 months. It is ridiculous.
I couldn't. Like, I would have to take like a year off my job as a teacher. Like, I couldn't just be like, in my school, I wouldn't just be able to take like 3 months off.
Usually I think they start in like early July, and so it would go through like mid-September maybe, which would be maybe a little bit easier for that type of thing, but still rough. I like it is wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Big Brother, it has been a fascinating watch. It also, the other thing that I will note about it for Survivor listeners out there, if you have not watched Big Brother, it is like Survivor mixed with Nickelodeon Double Dare. Like, every challenge is fucking ridiculous. There was a thing where it was like, they had to stand under noses and like snot came out of the noses and landed on them. Like, very ridiculous, wild bullshit stuff. But some of it is like goofy and funny. So it is very like camp, kind of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So just to be clear, your luxury item is the show Big Brother, not your new baby that you just had.
Well, I like luxury items to be like things that other people can also experience.
Mm.
And other people aren't going to experience baby Archie. So
that's fair. All right, cool. Listeners, let us know if you would like to stand under a big nose and have snot drip out on you.
Or visit a cheese factory.
Which is probably more enjoyable, but who knows? But yeah, email
maybe,
us.
Maybe the nose could be an elephant's nose.
Yeah, maybe that would be fun. But you got to be careful. Elephants are dangerous. You're not to be trifled with.
That's what I was screaming about in China. And when we were talked about the season of Survivor that took place in China.
Yeah, yeah. All right, email us.
Gabon. It was Gabon.
tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, it was Gabon. All right. This is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oi, 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 ai.